Good morning.
Morning.
You know, there was not a big deal made this year about fasting, but since Mark is still on mountain time, didn't know when to quit, I'm going to preach all the way through lunch. So, you know, it has been since probably 1983 since I heard the term honky. But I really think that I think that needs to be revived, don't you, Davey? A honky, yeah. So, be compassionate and love as brethren. First Peter chapter 3. Now, I want to kind of set the context here. First Peter chapter 3, and kind of take a look at the context. And what we see in the first part of this chapter is an instruction to wives to be submissive. Now, the idea being, see, that as he progresses from that, see, that when my assignment is verse 8, finding all of you, see, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. So here's the illustration in a very physical and practical way. And we've had a couple of messages this morning that were very physical and very practical. And so those were the hard sciences. It feels like sometimes that when we talk about being compassionate as brethren, that we get into the soft sciences. I want to kind of debase us of that idea, see? The reason that we do that is sometimes because we don't set the proper context in what we read. See, we put the emphasis on the wrong thing. Mary Jo, I would die for you. And Mary Jo says, you keep saying that, but you never do. You see, if we put the emphasis on the wrong thing, then we're going to get a different message. That's why we have to take God's word holistically. As Matt talked about, we can't leave that donut in the proofer too long, or as soon as you pinprick it, see, it's going to collapse. As the apostle begins to set the context here that women are to be recipients of honor, every human being created in the image of God. It is not good for man to be alone. Eve took care of part of that problem, But it's not good, see, for man to be alone. That's why we need to have brotherly love and compassion and to be like-minded. Humble-minded. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would have life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Let's pray. Great God in heaven, I am so grateful and thankful to be able to, Father, have your word indwell in our hearts. Father, to see the fruit of that word, God, manifested in times like these when we can come together. Father, I am so grateful and thankful that there are people even here who may challenge us. But Father, you haven't put the impossible out there for us to do, and you haven't put this in there as a filler. But God, I am grateful and thankful that you love us, that you demonstrate through solid, Father, immovable, absolute truth. And Father, because of that truth, we can, Father, move towards compassion and brotherly love. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. It seems a little like to me that when life is going pretty well, when our relationships are in order, when we're not striving with someone, we tend to kind of ignore passages like this. After all, if you're living in harmony with others, why do you need to be told to do what you're already doing? So it might be easy to kind of pass over these verses when things are going well, and it's hard to find a passage like this when the storm clouds start to break over our heads. We can forget about these. See, that's why it's so important that the word does indwell in our hearts and we make it a hard science to be able to apply that. C.S. Lewis once remarked that everybody thinks that forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. That's a great idea in theory. Compassion, love, tender-hearted, courteous, blessing, peace. Software issues. If this was a hardware issue, I could just go grab a reproducible track to run on. But it's the living out, isn't it? It's the fruit that's being produced by that track to run on. Luke chapter 11, verse 40. You foolish ones, don't you know that he who made the outside made the inside also? There's at least 10 or 12 sermons in this passage. And I'm going to preach all of them before lunch. Live in harmony. Be humble. Set Christ as Lord. Keep a clear conscience. Be sympathetic. Repay with blessings. Be prepared. Love. Keep away from evil. Be gentle. Be compassionate. Seek peace. Be respectful. These things are fundamental. These are Christianity 101. But you don't see these things, see? You may see the results of these things, but you don't see the inside. And while, you know, Jesus says to the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, and you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside's full of extortion, self-indulgence, and you clean the inside, the outside will be clean too. This to me is a great topic. Now, I guess maybe because the host here has known me for so long, that he would know that this was kind of something that I've always been very passionate about and concerned about. Because the question has to be, do I want to be as serious about the apostles' teaching as the first century church was? Oh, surely nothing here could be a salvation issue, could it? I don't see anything here about baptism or Lord's Supper or elders or deacons or the type of buildings we're supposed to meet in when we come around the table. I think sometimes this topic would be considered by some to be on the order of the frou-frou tissue paper that the ladies put in top of a gift bag. I've never understood that. You know, they, fellas, you know they actually buy that paper? I mean, I get that Amazon needs to put a certain amount of peanuts in a shipping, but you're carrying this bag to the bag, and you got this, what's the paper thing? Listen, I want to assure you that the Apostle Peter did not put this in here as frou-frou paper on top of the gift bag. He is just as serious about this as he was the proclamation on the day of Pentecost. And the truth is, I don't really like this topic one bit. Because it forces me to ask, do I want to be as serious about the apostles' teaching as the first century church was? Because heaven and hell hang in the balance. I will confess to you that I need each and every single point of this lesson. Every passage and every application applies directly into my own life. And in looking into the mirror of the Word, I need to know exactly who I am and exactly how I sometimes react to the people around me. Finally, that doesn't mean I'm done. I'm reading my... So everybody perk up. Really? Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. I don't always find that easy to do. Not impossible, but not easy. I sometimes struggle with feeling the right way or having the right attitude. I feel like you're all looking at me. When somebody lies about me, when somebody lies to me, what I have to tell myself, first thought wrong, because I want to get angry. When somebody lies about me, I feel like I want to set the record straight. When somebody mishandles their money, and then they come to me for help, and express a need? Somebody insults my wife, my kids, my grandkids. I have to distance myself from them, partly to keep from pinching their heads off. When somebody causes division within the body, I feel like I need to go and protect the rest of the people. And sometimes when somebody's rude to me, I've gotten rude right back. Sometimes when a good person suffers, why does God allow that kind of evil, you know? What's going on here? And sometimes when a bad person suffers, you're going to reap what you sow. I got some work to do. I love work. It's not work that was the curse. See, it was the thorns and the thistles. We love work. Because I do want to be as serious about the apostles' teaching as the first century church was, don't you? Peter's writing this passage as anything but frou-frou wrapping paper. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is going to take a conscious reinforcement and effort to be able to prove by that transforming of the mind what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But if I don't understand that there is a divine, can I say overarching? A divine overarching message that God is striving to get across here about the change in the inner man, then my approach is going to be, see, divisive. Why do you think that, you know, to kind of put it in a historical context, that the restoration movement has splintered into so many divisions? Because if I don't understand that there is a bigger picture, then the only thing I can fill my time with are the minutia of, see, well, you know, I mean, you guys, you got a baptistry here, but, you know, every baptism I see in the scripture was done in running water. But, you know, these aren't legitimate baptisms, you know. And we start to, you know, we, because we, this is too much. This means that I'm going to have to change my attitude, change my approach. That the inside of the cup is going to have to be cleansed, so it's easier to focus on those tidbits. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I want to be as serious about the apostles' teaching as the first century church was. We are a holy priesthood building a spiritual house. We are on a mission from God. And if we are not clear about that mission, then there's no possible way that we are going to be compassionate, that we're going to help other team members along, as long as that, Matt kind of touched on that, this male ego thing, see? We're more spiritual than you are. You know? Somehow by focusing on the smaller context, we've lost the larger context, that as a priesthood, that we have an authentic, intimate relationship with Jesus the Christ. And that authentic, intimate relationship, Christ in you, the hope of glory, should certainly produce compassion for each other. That we could put ourselves in another's place and work towards harmony within the body of Christ. That we could love as brothers. Family don't give up on each other. Family loves no matter what. Family helps. Family sticks together. Families respect each other's boundaries. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now, I think sometimes that's read, stick your nose in everybody else's business and make it your monkey and your circus. Well, kind of Mike Harbor Free Translation. No, sometimes it means respect other people's boundaries. See, Marshall and Brenna and Ember live upstairs, and Mary Jo and I have been able to remodel and move into the basement, which is why I have a vitamin D deficiency. But Just taking that, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. You want to drive Marshall nuts, have mom call him every night and say, can I get you supper? Can I? No. See? I mean, you know, I see them three times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Other than that, you know, I mean, might a path, but no. Different people, see, have different needs and expectations. And you know, maybe your family spends more, but every dynamic is different. But it is incumbent upon us, not only within the family, but within the family of God, to identify those things. It's not about me, see? Now, I'm sure that Mama would like to mother a little more than she does. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9 says, now, about brotherly love, you do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Keep on loving each other as brothers. To be tender-hearted. The action, being tender-hearted, of choosing to love in spite of. See, to be courteous and humble. Not, you know, we hear that humble, and it's not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. See? Now, there are times, not often, but once maybe, when I was the smartest person in the room. I know you look amazed. But on the other side of that, when I'm the smartest person in every room that I enter, I may need to ask myself why I'm staying in this neighborhood. For me? See, the question is, do I want to be as serious about the apostles' teaching as the first century church was? Jesus said, humble yourself like a child. You're going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that we act like we're less than. There's nothing more humble than saying, regardless of how I feel, I'm not God, and this is what God says about me. Now, I don't mean putting myself down. I mean, you know, degrading, and doesn't mean, you know, not recognize. No. See? Love as brothers, be compassionate, be tender-hearted, be courteous, be humble. Now, when I use that as my criteria, and I look into the mirror, see, what do I see? Do I see somebody who repays evil for evil, or replies insult for insult, or, you see? when I'm faced with unfairness, I decide to defend myself at all costs. Or do I live in harmony? Compassionate, humble. Now, a passive love is really just tolerance. Love really requires action. And we've got constant opportunities to love, but I think the trouble is sometimes we don't recognize them. Okay? Every person matters. Every person that you contact today, every person that you see, every engagement that we have is triangular. It's us, it's the person that we are having the conversation, the relation, the interface with, and it's God. See, He needs to be a part of everything, no matter how much it seems like, well, it's, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, I buy that bad coffee at the gas station, and you know, God's a part of this. Yeah, He is. See, and until we get that kind of that, we're not gonna get the idea. See, oftentimes we find that kind of thing exhausting, but relationship requires effort. It requires, see, intentionality. It requires, see, kindness and surrender. Start talking to people. Listen to people. Listening is one of the most sacrificial acts a person can do because it demands energy, attention, and love. There is a reason in creation that you have two ears and one mouth. Sometimes we lack the motivation to love. Sometimes we are just not in the mood to engage those around us. I just want to focus on myself. Every person matters, and every engagement with the only created things that are going to be eternal, you see, are that are in this created world are other people. So every engagement with somebody else, see, has those consequences. We fear rejection. Rejection hurts. But vulnerability is necessary. Love requires that vulnerability. We need to make these type of choices that are intentional. Sometimes we're afraid to fail. But if we realize that our intentionality, see, means consistency, and I can't invest into a person then and just walk away. Love is that commitment. See? And it needs to be kept even when it's unpleasant. That accountability. I want to be as serious about the apostles' teaching as the first century church. Every encounter matters. One of the most profound lessons that I learned was we pulled up to a construction site And a gal who was kind of running the, you know, stop, go slow thing was right up there by the car. I was a passenger. The driver engaged this gal in quite a lengthy conversation because I don't even remember what they were doing up the road, but we were there for a little bit. You know, how long you been doing this? You know, you get hot standing out here, you know, how do you keep yourself hydrated? And yeah, yeah, yeah. And so as we pulled away, I said, man, I said, you know, quite a conversation with that gal. Fella turned and give me those one of those little grins like I'm sure most of you have seen and said, you know, every bit of it, no matter what comes of it, is practice. You know, you can't practice like that if you don't love people. Because what that practice means is I'm more effective the next time. And you know what? It made that gal feel good to talk to somebody. Well, nobody got saved. Wouldn't have been any closer either, would have been further away had we not engaged her in conversation. Who knows what seeds are going to sprout and what seeds are going to fall on thorny ground, what seeds are going to fall on rocky ground? Sow the seed.